And away we go on a Monday. Holy moly, it is a Monday. Monday, January the 13th, 2020. 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. You know, Charlie Evers hit it right on the head on Friday. This year, 2020, just saying it carries weight. Every morning when you announce the date, January 13th, 2020, That just sounds better than 2019 or 2021 or anything like that. I like that. 2020. January the 13th, 2020. Okay. Moving past that, here we are. We're all together again. And we're going to have a fun morning this morning because we've got lots to talk about and lots to do here. And there's a lot I want to share from over the weekend. But the first thing I want to do is catch up on our bicentennial moments. Because on Monday morning, we have to read Saturday, Sunday, and Monday's bicentennial moments. So let's get into this right away, because these are little gems of Marian history that coincide with our bicentennial, which is this year, 200 years since Marian County was founded. Okay, here's the bicentennial moment from Saturday, January the 11th. The first criminal case in the Marion County Common Pleas Court took place in September of 1824 with town founder Eber Baker as the defendant. Baker was charged and convicted of selling spirituous liquors without a license and was fined $1 and costs. He did not serve time in jail, for which he had both donated the land and paid for the construction of. The prosecuting attorney was Milo D. Pettibone, who later platted a village in what would become southern Marion County and named it Waldo in honor of his son. So see, right there, dating way back to 1824, there's always a little vindictiveness. It sounds like the prosecuting attorney, Milo D. Pettibone, was a little vindictive. Now, I'm not sure. I guess, first of all, what do you think spirituous liquors means? We all know that Eber Baker, he didn't have a license. Well, that's tough. But I guess Eber Baker got fined, but yet, if he would have gone to jail, he would have went to the jail that he had paid for. So, you know, I guess that's like buying a house and moving into it. But the vindictive side of this on the prosecuting attorney's point, Milo D. Pettibone, seems to me that Eber Baker had founded Marion and probably had a lot of acclaim. Obviously, he had a little bit of money. He owned a tavern and had donated the money and the land for the jail. But Pettibone platted a village and named it Waldo in honor of his son. So apparently he got in on the naming side of things too, this prosecuting attorney that prosecuted Eber Baker. So that's kind of interesting. So if you ever want to know why Waldo was named, it was named for the son of the prosecuting attorney who prosecuted Eber Baker in what was the first criminal case in Marion County. So there you go. Okay, here's the bicentennial moment from Sunday, January the 12th. Apparently, the enticement of keeping tavern without a license was ongoing for Marion's town founder, as Eber Baker had a warrant issued for his arrest on the charge in 1837. Baker would eventually own a proper hotel and tavern when he built the mansion House Hotel on what is now the southwest corner of State and Center Streets in Marion. The southwest corner of State and Center Street in Marion. I don't know what would be over there right now. But apparently, Eber Baker did not like to pay for his license for selling liquor because he got in charge. An issue. Well, see, was Eber Baker ever in jail? Because apparently he did not go to jail in 1824. He was put on trial, but he ended up not going to jail. He just paid his fine. But it looks like in 1837, there was a warrant issued for his arrest. So I wonder if he ever did spend any time in that jail that he paid for. I wonder when they found him, did they put him in jail for any time in 1837? But apparently he did finally get himself together at some point after 1837 and built the Mansion House Hotel on the southwest corner of State and Center Streets in Marion. So there you go. Interesting facts about Eber Baker. Okay, that gets us through the weekend. So now we are to today's bicentennial moment, I believe. Okay, let me see. You know, I've got all these papers in front of me. I really should be more organized when it comes to this. Okay, here we go. Coming around to today, the 13th. Let's see what we have for the 13th. Monday, January the 13th, 2020, bicentennial moment. The first record of marriage taking place in Marion County was recorded for a May 7th, 1824 license issued to Sheldon Field and Lydia Ketham. The first land deed recorded in the county was on March 9th, 1821 and conveyed land in the Big Island area from Samuel and Lydia Jones to William Foster. The first will on record in the recorder's office was that of Samuel Farrell, who wrote it on August 19, 1825. In his will, Farrell bequeathed my soul to God, who gave it, and my body to dust from where it came. And that's today's bicentennial moment. How about that? The first will in Marion County. Now, I don't know if that's all that was in the will, but what an interesting line for a will. I bequeath my soul to God, who gave it, and my body to dust from where it came. That's a good line for a will. Because I think a lot of people always think wills are about finances. But why not bequeath your soul to God? Or bequeath your, you know, some people who've led a little bit of a rough life might bequeath their soul in the Southern District. You never know. People are funny like that. And my body to dust from whence it came. Why don't we use the word whence anymore? Now, see, we talk about language on this show a lot. Why don't you never hear somebody use the word whence? We always say where it came. But maybe the proper term is whence. Whence did you go this morning? Well, I went to McDonald's. I think we should start using the word whence. I think it would make us sound a little more Old English, as it would be. But that's today's bicentennial moment, Monday, January 13th. I like that the first record of a marriage taking place in Marion County was May 7th, 1824, issued to Sheldon Field and Lydia Ketham. Sheldon Field and Lydia Ketham. I wonder if they ever got married, and I wonder how long they stayed married. Now, here's my guess on it. Back in those days, you could still maintain a marriage. See, I've talked about this a lot, and some people like it, some people agree, some people disagree. But I really believe that, you know, back in those days, you could marry somebody and stay married. Now, sometimes you got married and stayed married because you were bored. Because back in those days, you had no radio, you had no cell phones, you had no iPods, you had no video games, you had nothing. You really had to deal with each other. You know, you might get a little newspaper or something like that, but you had to have somebody in the house or you might go nuts from boredom because you had nothing else to do. And you also needed people to help milk the cows and tend to the farm and do work and things like that. So you had to get together and have kids for those purposes. So back then, I think marriage was probably a good and proper idea. And I think that's probably true all the way up until recent times. But I think now, and here's where I've put this, I think anybody under 40, I'm not saying you shouldn't get married. Obviously, this is the thing. You can do whatever you want to do. Knock yourself out. But I don't think those marriages will last. Now, I know there are exceptions to the rule, and I know that's a big blanket statement that I'm making, but let me tell you why I'm making this statement. Here's why I don't think marriage is going to work for people under 40 years of age. I think that people get married for the wedding. Now, here's what I mean by that. Some people get married for the big high-dollar wedding. They like telling people they're getting married. They like the idea of inviting people to the wedding. They like the idea of having a big party. They like the idea that they're going to be attached to this person for what they think is going to be forever and forever, turns out, until the divorce papers come. But what happens is they care more about the wedding. And when Marge Hazlett used to be with us, I'll never forget her telling this story on one of our exchange clubs. She says she was at a wedding, and the bride, as she was coming down the aisle, was thinking about, she was looking for the next person she was going to hang out with as she's coming down the aisle, because she knew that this was not going to work, but she wanted the party and she wanted to be the center of attention. Now, here's what I will say. Now, some people will say, well, I don't want a big wedding and I don't want a fancy ring and, you know, we can just go to Las Vegas and that sort of thing. I understand that. But at some point, you've got to tell people you were married, and that brings a lot of attention to you. And again, you get that attention. Plus, you get this new thing, and I think sometimes in life we're always looking for new things. You get this new thing in your life that gives you a bit of a high for a moment, because hopefully the person you're marrying you like, and it kind of changes your life up for a little bit, and sometimes you do take a honeymoon or go someplace fun, and the person lives with you, I would imagine, and it's a changer, but it doesn't last forever because people aren't really marrying people for the real reasons that people used to get married for, because I think internet and text messaging and all that has creeped in and ruined marriage. It makes people paranoid. It's just different. And people are also different now. There are so many ways to annoy what would be your spouse. For people under 40. If you're over 40, you're fine. I think your marriage will work out. But that's all I'm saying. I just think it's not going to work. Now, I would never, tell somebody that I think they shouldn't get married. But in the back of my mind, I would know that it's a bad idea. How about that? And I wouldn't bring the blender to the... I'm not going to go to weddings anymore. Maybe that's what I should say. I'm not going to go to weddings anymore, even if I like the people, because I know it's going to be bad. Maybe I'll just go to the divorces. Because as you know, and I'm not going to tell the story again, but I got in trouble for a wedding card years ago, and frankly, that's just marred my whole thing on weddings for some reason. I don't even care to go to... I don't even want to go to a wedding. I have no intention of going to any wedding. And I do think that you have to like the person you marry, but see, that's a tricky one too, because I think you do like the person you marry when you marry them, or why else are you getting married? And also, sometimes you learn you don't like the person so much after you've been married, because marriage does change things. I know somebody, for example, who was engaged a bunch of times. Why am I talking about marriage this morning? How did this all start? Oh, it was the first recorded marriage in Marion County. Well, it sent us off onto a tangent, so here you go. Here's the problem. I think that all people think they like the person they're marrying. I think they think they're in love with the person they're marrying. I think they think it's all hunky-dory. But the truth is, the most important thing in a marriage has to be conversation. You've got to really be able to do that. You've got to conversate, and you've got to laugh, and you have to be, you know, almost, I don't know, you've really got to be on the same page. And sometimes the other person's page changes, especially as they get older. See, that's a problem with getting married young, too. People are not fully developed. And people say, well, 18, 19. No, I'm talking about 30 years old. You really don't fall into yourself until you're 30 years old, until your 30s. I think people in their 20s sometimes are a wreck. I mean, 20s sometimes can be a rough decade for people. And I don't think they quite know who they are yet. This is why I think people should wait until they're about 35 if they really want to get married. So you got like a 5-year window. If you're under 40, you're probably going to be in trouble. But you need to wait till you're 35 to get married, because that's when you really know yourself. And also, here's the best advice I can give you. Why am I giving you advice? Well, why not? We've got time to kill this morning. Here's the best advice I can give you. Now, this is the most profound thing I will ever say when it comes to marriage. Even if you like the person, even if you think you love the person, even if you think you want to spend the rest of your life with this person, even if you think you want to live with this person, here is what you have to do. And you can only know this yourself. But ask yourself this question before the marriage happens. Are you stable on your own? Are you mentally stable? Are you emotionally stable? And are you financially stable? Now, if you can answer yes, honestly, to all three of those without the marriage, that you like where you are and you like yourself, and you're emotionally stable, you're mentally stable, and you're financially stable, then do it, I guess. Let her rip. Get married if you're 35. But if you're answering no to any of those, the marriage might be based in the fact that either you're lonely, you're alone, or you need somebody to help shoulder the financial strain in your life. And that's not going to make a marriage last. So there you go. Marriage advice. I'm going to write a column about marriage. That's what I'm going to do. And I don't need a newspaper. I'll just Facebook it from now on. I'm going to be Facebook marriage counselor. That's going to be my whole new thing. Here we go. Let's go to the phones.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. How are you? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. I turned on the radio this morning. I thought I was listening to Dr. Phil.
No, Dr. Phil, I'd be crazy. I would be telling people, hey, you don't need to get married. It's a Tuesday. You don't need to get married. You wait till your Thursday to get married. I have his Southern accent, crazy man.
No. Oh, man.
No, I thought...
Okay, you're exactly right on the marriage. That's the three important points that you nailed on. Definitely got to be stable on your feet. You know, you got to be financial to get married as well, yeah? You really hit it on the head this morning.
Well, that's what I say. If you are not at the time of your marriage financially stable, emotionally stable, and mentally stable, chances are probably some of the reason you're getting married is because of that, and that's going to fade away. Because do you know what the number one cause most people say of a marriage breaking up is?
Well, it used to be money, but it's not money anymore now.
No, it's money. It's still money.
Oh, is it money still?
Yes, it's still financial.
I thought it was controlling and...
Well, no, that's come up. Well, see, and that's a problem, yeah. Too, because part of it is money. Number one is still money, not by much anymore, but money's still the number one problem. And then the number two problem now is emotional. It's that you think the person's cheating. I mean, there are devices now that you can put on your spouse's car to see where they are all the time.
Yeah, technology is there. You can track them like a hawk.
But you know what? I have figured out a way around that. Here's what you do. I hate to give this advice. See, this is just contradictory of what I'm saying. But if somebody's putting a GPS on your phone or your car, here's how you get around that. If you want to have... I can't even believe I'm going to say it. Okay, here. If you want to have an affair, here's how you do it in the 2000s. Okay? If you want to... Huh?
I'm sure you probably have the... go ahead.
Yeah, here's how you have an affair. Okay, if somebody's got a tracker on you, if somebody's got a tracker on your phone or they got a tracker on your car, here's what you do. Because obviously if you're having an affair, there's probably another person involved. So let's say you're a man and you're having an affair. Okay, and your wife has got a tracker on you, on your phone or on your car. Well, here's what you do. Let's just be smart about this. Go take your car and take your tracker and go to the grocery store and park your car and leave your phone there and then get in the car with the person you're having the affair with. Because then your tracker will show that you're at the grocery store. See, I hate to say that. I hate to say that, but I think that's that whole tracker idea is stupid. First of all, there shouldn't be trackers. That's what ticks me off in general. If you don't trust the person, you shouldn't be married to them.
Right. Right.
That's why I hate when people go through people's...
Trust is the biggest thing in marriage as well, too.
I just don't... I don't like when people go through people's phones. I don't like it when people go through people's emails. I don't like it when people... try to follow people. I think that's nuts. If you even have the suspicion that your partner is cheating, then you should not be married to that person because you do not trust them.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But then, you know what it is? It's just that social media technology is really warping people's brains, to be honest with you. Because it's easy to have chat with different people on Facebook or, you know, Messenger or, you know, people are so gullible.
But you know, talking to somebody on Facebook or Messenger does not mean you're having an affair with them just because they're of the opposite sex.
Well, it depends on what the conversation is all about. You sure have, it's called texting, and, you know... You gotta watch. I mean, when you're married, you should not be texting other people, other guys. I'm talking about certain words. You should not be using certain words that you're going to use with your wife or your husband. That, you know, should not be like flirting with other people on social media.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. Okay, if you're flirting with somebody else. You probably don't like that person anymore. And that person's probably not liking you very much.
That person needs to end the marriage instead of flirting on the internet with somebody else.
Well, there's a lot of reasons marriages don't end, though. And the number one reason they don't end is financial, because the people can't live on their own.
Well, I think the government needs to make marriages a lot harder to get. It's just, like, so easy to get married now. And we don't do blood tests anymore. I think they need to go back to blood testing. Then you have to get your blood test done.
Now, why do you think you need a blood test to get married?
Because you don't know what that kind of disease the other person has. That's ridiculous.
I hate to tell you this, but I think if you're marrying the person nowadays, you probably already got that disease by the time you're getting the blood test to get married.
Probably, yeah. But I'm just saying.
You can just forget that blood test. You're probably better off to just get a ticket to the free clinic.
Exactly. That's true. You're right, I guess. Yeah, that's how it works nowadays. Yeah, they don't text me for marriage anymore.
So, you know what? I don't think the blood test is going to slow that down. But no, I actually disagree. I agree. I think marriages should be easier to get. Now, here's why. Here's my theory on this. Because... I do think sometimes, because marriages can be costly.
Right.
if you go the divorce route and the other person doesn't want to divorce, sometimes they can stop you and they can string it out and make it very financially bad on you. So I think that sometimes keeps the marriage going and the drama going, blah, 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 blah. I think you should just be able to sign off, no finances, be done with it and go, because then you would have people really staying together because they wanted to. They wouldn't be staying together because they're afraid of divorce and all the paperwork and all the legal and all the money that comes with it. They would be more apt to stay together for love or liking each other because it would be so easy to get divorced.
Right, that's true. I mean, notice that some people that have been together without being married for 40-some years, and they get along just fine.
Well, see, that's the route I like. I would never be married, but I would, you know. Well, I'm not going to go on record or anything here, but I would not. I would probably be around somebody for 20 or 30 years because I think that shows you really do like the person because you could walk out at any time.
Right. True. And you know what's coming back nowadays? I noticed the people that I've been around over the last few months or so. It's called promise rings. You know how promise rings used to be really popular back in the days when we were growing up? And then they fade away? Well, now they're coming back again. It's called promise rings now. Instead of an engagement ring, it's called a promise ring.
So,
I did not know that, but they're bringing that back.
So what exactly is the promise?
Well, you know, I guess I promise to marry you someday.
Well, I don't see. No, see, to me that just sounds a little too controlling. That's like I want to put my stamp on you so nobody else will you'll mess around with you. No. If you want to get married, get married. But here it comes back to the thing again. You've got to trust the person. You can put promise rings and engagement rings and wedding. It reminds me of the old joke that my good friend Professor Irwin Corey used to say. He said there are three rings when it comes to marriage. He says there's the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and then the suffering.
Oh, yeah, the suffering. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And, you know, people.
He was 100-some years old.
Yeah, I think he was 102, 101, something like that. But you know what the funny thing is? He had a long marriage. He was married for 70 years, never got a divorce.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
So he could say jokes like that. But I just, you know, whatever. People can do what they want. I really don't care what they do. I'm just trying to give people a perspective. I'm trying to be educational this morning. And since one of the bicentennial moments was about marriage, I thought I would discuss it and tell what my feelings are about it. And, you know, whatever. People can do what they want. This is just my opinion.
You know, I thought about getting my license and start marrying people.
Oh, you want to conduct marriages?
Yeah, I think that would be pretty cool job to do. Just go out in people's houses or wherever they go, churches, whatever, and then I'll just start marrying a couple.
Well, a lot of people are doing that now because, see, that's financial for them.
No, I would donate my time. I would do it for free.
Yeah, but you know, you've got to read the wedding vows. Now, would you like to get up in front of people and read the wedding vows?
I think I would probably do it.
Well, okay. As long as you can do that, you'd be good to go.
Because I think that should be free. I don't think that should be a costly thing. Because you're already paying enough for, like, a wedding itself. If you have a true wedding, isn't it costly? Between, like, you get all the dresses and, all the tuxedos and cake and... I think that's a stressful thing, though. If the preacher or whatever, or the person that married somebody, and it's free, it costs anything, then heck. You know?
Well, yeah, but I think...
A little bit of money then.
But I think that's part of the reason a lot of people get married is for the big wedding, because the attention's on them,
and...
The
justice of the peace, do they charge? I don't even know.
Yeah, justice of the peace charges.
Did I lose you?
No, you're here. Yeah, a justice of the peace charges. You there?
I think I'm...
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
I can't hear you. I'll call you right back.
Okay, Sean's going to call right back in. For some reason, I can hear him, but he can't hear me. But we're having a little talk here this morning about marriage, but you wonder why we're having this conversation? Well, it came up because we were talking about the first recorded marriage in Marian history. How about that? Can you hear me?
I know I can hear you.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, yeah. Yes,
but I do believe a justice of the peace gets paid.
Oh, they do?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what the costly is of doing that, but I just thought about doing that for, you know, not for, I mean, I don't, you know, not for everybody, but whenever I can, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, and again, you know, if people want to be married, go ahead, get married. I don't care. You know, knock yourself out. But I'm just giving you my take on the marriage thing right now, because I was talking about the bicentennial moment from this morning when we're talking about the first recorded, first record of a marriage taking place in Marion County, May 7th, 1824. So there you go.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
A little while ago.
Yeah. Anyway, so wonder what the marriage would look like. I mean, it's probably like if I got married on horses, probably, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know if they got married on horses. Those were probably a lot of Justice of the Peace weddings or marriages in churches. I don't know. I mean, we've got the name, Sheldon Field and Lydia Ketham. I'm sure somebody could probably go back and track that, considering they have the date, May 7th, 1824. So I'm sure their wedding announcement probably appeared somewhere. But, I don't know. I don't know what they did in those days. But see, people got married in those days and stayed married, number one, because they didn't have anything else to do. They were bored. Number two, well, that's true. They were bored. And number two,
well, now they had to know how to wash their clothes on washboards every day.
Number two, they needed to have kids to work on the farm. And number three, and maybe this is most importantly, back in those days, you didn't live very long.
So, yeah, because they didn't have the medicine to keep you alive back then.
Well, that's right. So a marriage was not a long-term thing in those days. I mean, you could get married when you were 18, 21 years old, and you were probably dying when you were 40, 50. So, you know, you only had to spend 20 years with that person, and then you were out. Because you know what? The wedding vows have always been funny to me. If, you know, are you there, Sean?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, it's funny because the wedding vows have always been funny to me because, you know, the ending of it is until death do you part. So now here's the thing I want to know. So if one of you dies, you're out.
Right.
So that there are no marriages in heaven or downstairs, I guess, because marriage only stays until you die, because that is the line from the Bible, till death do you part. So apparently, once you're dead, you're free.
There you go. All right. And then, you know, some of the, you see that one couple that died together? They were, like, together for, like, 70 years. They died, like, a few hours apart.
Yeah, but you know what happened there, don't you?
What?
Well, see, everybody thinks that's romantic. But what happened is the person died, the spouse died, and then when they told the other spouse that the person was dead, they had a heart attack because they were so happy. They said, man, after all these years, I'm finally out.
Oh.
Yeah, see.
And I got too excited.
And that's the rest of the story.
Oh, interesting. But speaking of weddings, you know how you can cut down on a list of weddings, though? I was just thinking on the way here, as I'm traveling down the road here.
Serve spam.
Instead of buying all these expensive dresses and tuxedos, just going to, like, you know, get married in your pajamas or something. You know what I mean? Like, pajamas or...
Get married in your pajamas.
Or blue jeans or something like that, you know?
Well, I was never... Okay. See, you know, the one time I was going to get married, it never came off. But the one time I was going to get married...
I think you were going to get married twice, I think, at one time.
Maybe. But neither one came off. So, you know, nor here nor there. But one time it did come close. I mean, there were wedding dresses involved, and there was a place involved, and there was a date set at one point. So, you know, my toes were on the line with this particular wedding. And it was going to be a much simpler wedding because we were going to be married at the Harding Memorial. Because I thought you would always remember that. And the date I think we had picked was May, so it would have been kind of warm. And we were going to get married at the Harding Memorial, which I thought would have been fun. And we were going to pick, I believe we had talked about the mayor marrying us because I knew the mayor. Yeah, I think it was Mayor Kellogg at that particular time, because Mayor Kellogg, I think, married more people than any other mayor. So we wanted the mayor to marry us, and we were going to get married at the Harding Memorial on some day in May. And I thought that was a great idea, because aside from her dress, you know, I don't think we were going to do tuxedos, and I don't think we were going to do all that. You know, obviously you don't decorate up the Harding Memorial. It's just you get some chairs and you get the mayor
that's
and you do the thing.
I was your best man, so I was not going to wear a tuxedo again.
Well, I don't know. No, see, but that... No, I never told anybody who was my best man.
Well, I didn't know I was.
No, well, I don't know. I don't know who I would pick as my best man. I don't know.
Maybe Terry. Oh, maybe Terry probably. Maybe Terry.
No, I don't even know that I knew Terry at that time.
Or Adam Leppard. Adam Lepp. Might have been your.
No.
Best man.
No, Adam. You're saving Adam for your wedding, but I don't know who would. I really don't know who would be the best man. I would have to think about that. But you know, I don't have to think about it because it's not going to happen. There is going to be no wedding. That was just at that particular time what was going on.
Folks, it was going to be me. We all know it.
Irregardless, which is not really a word. You know, the word is regardless. Regardless, it did not come off, and so I didn't have to, you know, I don't know. There was a promise ring. I don't remember there being an engagement ring, but that was a whole funny thing to begin with. But the girl was very nice. I like the girl. The girl's fine. Girl's doing well now, you know, so it was all my fault, I'm
sure.
I
talked to Jessica every so often.
See, there you go mentioning names. You should not mention names on the airwave.
Oh, my bad.
No, you shouldn't do that.
Oh. Yeah.
Because maybe they don't want that brought up.
Oh, okay. Well, there's like thousands different Jessicas in the world. I didn't say the last name.
Well, there are. But you never know. People are funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, my point is that I don't know. It was okay. I probably would have married that person. In my honest opinion, I probably could have, but I don't know. Things just happen that it didn't work, but, you know, I'm glad she has a good life. I'm glad she's happy now. I wish her nothing but the best.
Well, that's a song. Nothing but the best. There's some lyrics in that song. Where'd I hear that from? I can't remember.
I don't know. But I just, you know what? I wish everybody well. I wish anybody I've ever been in a relationship with, because obviously they've all come to hideous disasters, I wish them all well. I can sit here today in 2020.
Did you just say hideous?
Hideous disasters. Hideous disasters. All of them come to hideous disasters. But I wish them all well. I'm glad they're doing well. When I see that they're doing well, or I see... I always talk to them when I see them. When I see that they're doing well or hear that they're doing well, I'm happy for them. Great for them. Good for them. Happy life.
Yep. You know, life must go on, they say.
Yeah, life goes on. Get over it and move on.
Yep, that's right.
I always think, that's somebody else's problem now. Huh?
So that was the intake on marriages.
Well, I had a whole list of other things I wanted to talk about this morning, but it was just because of this whole thing with I got another hour, so I can still do it. But it was just this whole thing about the first recorded marriage in history that brought it up, and I think sometimes people need advice when it comes to marriage. Now, again, you don't have to take my advice, but that's just my particular opinion on things.
I just think it's overrated and overpriced. It's definitely overrated. I don't think marriages should cost or weddings should cost that kind of money.
Now,
yes, you can make a budget wedding, but some of the stuff that these places and everything charge you just to have a ceremony is just outrageous.
Now, I will say this. And again, no names involved with this, and only I know this because I've never told anybody this. There's only one person I would marry today. I'm not saying I couldn't meet somebody tomorrow. I probably won't. But there's only one person that I would marry. There is one person that I would marry if it
can. I know who it is too.
Well, you might know who it is, but yeah. There's only one person. And no, I'm not saying I want to marry that person, but I'm just saying if it ever came to it, there's only one person I would marry because you've got to have somebody there at the end to pull your plug. Now, see, that's the only reason, because you don't want somebody yanking your plug who you didn't discuss things with.
I don't think I'm going to have a plug, so it don't really matter.
Oh, so you want to be a DNR?
Yes, I'm getting frozen, so...
I've told you this time and time. You can't be frozen. I've talked to the cryogenics man, and first of all, there are a lot of things you have to do to be frozen. You've got to be packed in ice almost immediately after you die. So if you die in a car crash...
I'm gonna have like a little button.
No. If you know you're dying, I think you better call 911, not hit the cryogenics button.
I'll have a life alert on me. That's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get life alert. That way, if I go in a crash, you know, I might go off and come in here and wrap me in ice real quick.
Well, you better get a bigger freezer because you're going to need a lot of space.
Thank you.
No, you what for a body?
Thank you very much.
Do you think you're going to fit? No, listen. Do you
once
think?
Once again, you criticize me on the airwaves.
No, that was not. Do you think you're going to fit in the freezer of your refrigerator?
Well, why do you have to use big? Just because I'm a big man?
No, you're going to use a big freezer.
You're going to get a freezer.
Wait a second. See, you're off the beam already. No, because you're going to need a big freezer for a body.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You don't?
Yeah, I understand what you thought it was coming from, but I know how you are.
Listen, if I wanted to make a joke, I would make a joke. But I'm just saying, you're going to need a big freezer. It's going to take a minute for those people to get down here from Detroit.
I can't crawl in it. I'll be dead.
Well, once you hit the life alert button, just jump in the freezer. Cool your ride off.
All right, well, nice talking to you.
I know. Well, it's an interesting morning. From birth to wedding to death this morning.
Right. Well, all right, have a good day.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
All right, a good laugh to start off the morning. 55 minutes after the hour here on WWGH Radio. You can call in, by the way. Do you have any thoughts on marriage, death, being frozen? Anything I've said in the last hour? I can't really believe we've eaten an hour on this. Give me a call, 740-383-9944, 740-383-9944, because I'm going to save everything else I wanted to do for next hour. We have some new trivia we're going to do next hour. We have some things I wanted to talk about next hour that we're going to get into here if I can find the paper I had. But do you have anything to add to the conversation that we just had on marriage, life, death, all those sort of things? 740-383-9944. You know, I've talked to those cryogenics people, and to be honest with you, I don't think it's very difficult, because the people, it almost only works if you die in a hospital, because if you die in a hospital and the people in the hospital already know that you want to be frozen, then they can kind of prepare for that, because you've got to start freezing yourself before your organs shut down. So the problem is that if you die at home and like an hour passes, you've done damage to your organs and your brain and things like that, and then you can't be frozen, even if you want to be. So there's a whole thing there that you've got to do. And there are actually stories of people who are married or people who live together that if I would die, if you would find me dead, start packing me in ice before the paramedics get there so you can be frozen and sent up to the cryogenics plant, which I believe the closest one is in Michigan. I believe the first one was in Michigan. Or the people who died first are still floating around in Michigan. People think you're frozen, too. That's an odd thing. You're never frozen. You're never, like, put in a block of ice or anything. You're put into, like, a big tank, and you're floating around in there. And the tank has chemicals and waters and things that keep you preserved until, apparently, they pull you out and do whatever they do with you. It's a very... There was a joke about this one time. About, they asked a guy who wanted to be frozen. They said, "Why would you want to be frozen?" Well, and the guy said, "Well, because I want to come back, you know, when they find a cure for what killed me." And they said, "Yeah, but all the people you knew will be gone. You know, won't that be a lonely life when you become unfrozen?" And the person said, "I'll make new friends." I think that's probably right. I just don't know when they would unfreeze you what you would feel like. I mean, have you ever stayed in bed for a long time? How stiff and kind of worn out you feel after you've been in bed, let alone being frozen for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years? I don't think you would feel great when they unfroze you. I think that'd be an awful rough thing. I think your legs would be sore, your arms would be sore. I think you'd be in real peril. So I don't know if that's ever going to work. They've never unfrozen anybody, so I'm not even sure if that's a thing at this particular juncture. But whatever. It was interesting to talk about, and we thank the conversation this hour being brought about by the Bicentennial Moments here on WWGH Radio. It is coming up on the hour here, top of the hour. We're going to break, but we've got a whole lot to talk about next hour. We've got trivia. We've got things I want to bring up that happened over the weekend. We can talk more about this if you want. You on the toll-free line, 740-383-9944. If the phone is ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. Stay tuned. Be back in about 10 minutes.
Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For the famous cookie man, Wally Amos.
And around the corner comes George and Barbara Bush. The first thing that occurred to me to do was to play. I went to the chief and didn't quite know what to do. I just started dancing.
To legendary.